We've got Mike Kazi on the line. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
60-game baseball season.
I believe it when I see it.
Yeah, but even if it happens, 60-game, and you heard that, I mean, each team is going to play teams in their division 10 times. So that means for the Yankees, 40.
Oh, that's what they do all the time. It's like yeah. Play 40 games against the Orioles, and then they play five against everybody else.
But that's what I mean. I mean, for all the teams in the AL, for all the divisions, they're going to play 40 games in their division, and then they're going to play 20 games out of their division, which really cuts down on any representation of a power ranking. It really does.
You know what it is? It's a fake season because people aren't going to show up. The players want to get paid, so they're getting paid, and people want to see something on TV to occupy their time. That's what it basically comes down to. It's a fake season. Yeah. It's an exhibition season. It means nothing. Whoever wins a World Series this year definitely needs an asterisk behind it because it's a fake season.
I was saying that to somebody. It's just like that NFL season where the scrubs took over for what, to four games, and then they finished out the rest of the season.
But at least they played what 12 games that meant something. Yeah. That's three quarters of a season. Here they're playing less than half a season, and it's a fake season because of who they're playing. When the NFL was on strike, they picked up with their same schedule.
Yeah,
this is like, forget about it.
And they're going to have really wacky rules. They're going to put in extra innings. A person gets on second base.
Speed up rule. It's like they play what I call daddy ball on a weekend. It's a shell of baseball.
And the glory of baseball was a full 162-game season, then followed the team that wins the World Series has to win at least another 12 games after that. And that's what makes baseball, the up and down of baseball, the injuries, the winning and losing stretches, that's what makes baseball baseball.
And isn't it something like 10 teams from each league make the playoffs?
It's a
joke. All it is something for people to watch on TV.
All it is to keep their TV revenue. That's what it is. It's not even the plan. The TV revenue. They want to keep those contracts active. That's exactly what it is.
Well, they got to do something because the owners can't shell out a half a year's salary, which is what the players are getting paid, with absolutely no revenue.
Yep.
I mean, that's suicide. You can't do that. So it is what it is. I think it's terrible. I still think it's a 50-50 shot. It won't happen because they're not supposed to report to camp to July 1st, which is next week, and then they don't start playing to July 25th. So the overpaid, spoiled babies, a lot can happen in the next month where this thing doesn't happen.
All right, the Greater Hartford Open happens without fans this week. Golf without fans and baseball without fans and the dead quiet watching on TV. I'll just move on. How about racing? First of all, what's your thoughts about the Belmont?
Honestly, that track was so souped up, Marshall, that if you and I ran around the track, we could probably run a mile in 1:34. That track was as tight can be. The winner of the Belmont ran the Belmont in a mile and eighth in 1:46.1, and then Bobby Baffert had a filly that almost broke a long-standing track record for the mile. That track was so souped up, it was ridiculous. What I thought of the Belmont, Tis the Law won, and he beat a lackluster field that only had a combined amount of three graded stakes wins, and not talking grade ones. We're talking graded, which could be a grade two or grade three. So all the races, if you add up for all of the horses that he ran against, there was a total of three graded stakes races in there. So he beat a lackluster field on a souped-up track. I think it was all done just to make flash like they're doing everywhere else. Make something out of nothing with Tis the Law. Is he a decent horse? He might be a decent horse, but, I mean, the Belmont he ran in was nothing more than a high-class allowance race. It was nothing more than that. And he'll get tested for sure in the Derby. We'll see what happens when that happens. But the thing that these big tracks do on big days to the racetracks and souping them up, it's just ridiculous because They make these horses look out to be superstars, which they're not. They may be very good horses, but they're definitely not 146 and 1 mile and an eighth horses.
All right, and on to racing for this weekend. Anything coming up for you?
Oh, yeah, there's tons of stakes. They got stakes races this weekend at Belmont, and it's closing weekend at Churchill Downs, and tomorrow is their big race of the meet with the Stephen Foster, and that's sandwiched around a whole bunch of stakes races. Churchill closes down on Sunday, so Belmont Park will be the only major track running until Keeneland starts running. I think it's around July 12th to 13th. So Belmont's going to be the only game in town. They're going to have big handles for sure. With that being said, we'll start with the seventh race tomorrow. It's a grade 3, 6.5 furlongs on the dirt, the grade 3 Vagrancy. This brings up seven horses, which is a big field for Belmont. The favorite's the 5 horse, Come Dancing, at 7-5 morning line. I don't see it with this horse. His form for only race this year at Oakland Park was terrible in the Apple Blossom. This horse ran next to last, getting beat by almost 15 lengths. He's working out real good for Carlos Martin, but Carlos Martin has some pretty weak numbers, and this horse, I think, is a definite vulnerable favorite. There's some other horses in here that run really well at the distance. One is the one horse, Royal Charlotte, trained by Chad Brown. This horse is 2-for-2 at Belmont, coming off his one race tightener early in July in the $80,000 overnight stake where the horse ran second at 3-2. Expect this horse to run better tomorrow. And my top pick is going to be the 3 horse, Shalom, trained by Armand Delacour. Off since October, but it doesn't matter. This horse runs very well off the layoff, has won off a layoff, training very well at Fair Hills, has run well at Belmont Park. I'm not going to take the short price with Come Dancing. I expect Shalom to be about 5-2, and that's the horse I'm going to take on top. So we're going to go to with the 3-to-win and the 3-1 exacta box in the Vagrancy. The 8th race is the Grade 2 New York. It's 1.25 miles on the inner turf track. Inner turf has been playing very favorable to speed. This race draws 7 horses, and to me there's one lone speed horse in the race, and that's the 7 horse, Mean Mary. This horse goes to the front and goes as far as she can. This horse ran twice in Churchill Down at Gulfstream Park this winter in marathon distances of 1.5 miles and 1.375 miles. Got out front and never stopped, won both of them by open lengths. I think the outside post is real good for this horse to break nice and clean. Has no trouble down inside with horses converging on him. Gets to the front and just keeps on going. So my top pick in here is going to be the 7, Mean Mary. And I'm going to go with the favorite on the inside, Call Me Love, for second. Christopher Clement's having an outstanding Belmont meet. Everything he's putting on the track is running. This horse has some tactical speed. But I just think Mean Mary's a faster horse, and I don't think this horse will get to him. But Call Me Love is a good horse and maybe could upset Mean Mary, what I would call an upset. So we're going to go to 1771 exacta box and the 7 to win on top. Now we fly across to Louisville, out to Churchill Downs for the 10th race tomorrow. And all these races, again, are on TV. They're on MSG+, they're on Fox Sports, so you can see all these. But tomorrow's may be on NBC, and that's what happened last week. Those stations that carry the races couldn't show it because NBC had the rights for New York, and everybody that was playing Churchill Downs got the short end of the stick because you couldn't see it because Fox News didn't show it. It's not Fox News, Fox Sports. So hopefully that doesn't happen tomorrow, because if it does, then you have to watch the races from Churchill on your betting site. But I think Churchill's top dog tomorrow, so maybe you might have an issue watching Belmont. I don't know. I didn't look ahead at the scheduling. But the 10th race tomorrow at Churchill is the Stephen Foster, grade 2, going 1.125 miles for older horses. It's the showcase of their different meet this spring. The 5 horse, Tom's the Tot, will be the top horse in here, will be less than even money. This horse is 6-for-7 over Churchill with 3 wins, training well, but I don't get money for betting less than even money horses. The 8, Owendale, who ran in the Blame, was a stakes race earlier in the meet, going only 1 mile, and this horse is a definite two-turn horse. Owendale looked tremendous winning that race. He's continued to train well. He's won over the Churchill Downs track. Mile and an eighth won't hurt him. I'm picking Owendell in an upset to beat Tom's the Attack. Owendell should be about 3-1. So we're going to go with the eight on top and just a win bet in the Stephen Foster, because the exacta will pay very short with Tom's the Attack. And the rest of the race, maybe you can go with the one horse, Fearless. Todd Pletchership's out there. This horse is coming off a win on May 30th at Churchill. So I guess we can play an exacta here and look for Tom's the Attack to run third. So we're going to go with an 8-1 exacta and the 8 Owendell to win. And the last race on Churchill Downs card tomorrow, about 6:20, is the mile and an eighth. The Regret is the name of the horse, is the name of the race. 13 line up for this. That's the great thing about Churchill, folks. The fields are so deep, you make money there, because the favorites don't win but 20% of the time. So that means you're going to cash a ticket. The five-horse Crystal Cliffs, trained by Graham Motion, is having an outstanding meet out there. Has won over the Churchill Strip on the last day of May, going this distance of a mile and an eighth. So that horse is a definite must-use in here. The 9, Eve of War, is another horse. Got a tightener coming back in the Tepin at the end of May. Hasn't run since then, but it's training pretty well for Todd Pletcher. And the 12-1 morning line makes this horse attractive to throw in exact the boxes. So the 5 looks very good. The 9 has a good shot. And the 12 is my top choice here. This horse is coming out of the Tepin as well, off a layoff. Got a very, very wide trip that day. Leperu's back on the horse this time around again. Leperu is 2-for-3 winning on this horse with a third, so knows the horse very well. The horse likes the turf course at Churchill, 2-for-2 there. 6-to-1 on the outside. This is another horse that can make a move, keep himself out of trouble with the outside post, and just make a nice move down the stretch and get it done. So the 12 past the plate is my top pick, with the 9, Eve of War, and the 5, Crystal Cliffs. So some good racing comes to an end this weekend at Churchill. We have a little lull after that with just Belmont being run. But then when Keeneland kicks in, you're going to have Del Mar and Saratoga both going around the same time. So good racing right now, a little low, and then jump into the deep end of the pool with those three big tracks running at the same time.
All right, Mike, have a good weekend, and we'll speak to you again next week.
I'll be good if my allergies ever clear up.
I always carry some Kleenex with you.
Claritins.
Claritin, that's it.
Keeping them in business this spring.
All right, have a great day.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Take care. Mike Causey with a check on sports this morning here on the Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.